Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Been in a little bit of a reading rut, and so when the fifth person recommended a new book to me, I said, I guess I'll try it on audiobook. It was the book The Correspondent. Has anybody here heard of it, read it? It's pretty good. Debut novel by Virginia Evans. It is a book that is just read through letters and emails, through correspondence. There's no narration. There's no typical plot to follow, but it builds as you read the correspondence. It's correspondence from the main character named Sybil. She's an older lady. Towards the end of her life, she's a retired lawyer, very sharp-minded. She writes to everyone and anyone, various family, friends, even an enemy, some famous authors, young people, and one notable customer service representative. And Sybil, she is imperfect. She's flawed. She carries real grief and guilt. She's alone, and she keeps people at a distance, unsure of how to let them in. She'd much prefer to correspond with people by letters than have a face-to-face conversation. And that her story can be told without narration is a bit of a marvel, that you can follow a story and understand what it's about by reading correspondence. The first and second and third books of John are letters. They're correspondence. There's no narrator. There's the plot that you follow comes in between all the letters and the words. We don't have the replies, but what we have is a communication for a community that is wrestling with faith as they live through the times. You see, the church in the early days was small. It was illegal. And the people, they needed encouragement to grow in their faith. Some years later, Martin Luther wrote about these letters that they beautifully and gently picture Christ to us. The letters themselves are dripping with themes of love and light and life. It begins with a greeting. It greets people and tells them this God that we follow became human in Jesus, that they had seen it. They had witnessed it. They'd experienced it. They've seen with their eyes and touched with their hands. And they wanted the community to be encouraged to experience it too, to tell its readers that Jesus is real, that Jesus is for you. And the community is invited to come share in our joy because Jesus came to give you life. And this is how the church grew, through preachers and letters, and because it needed encouragement to expand and spread. It was so small, illegal even. And it grew and grew and grew through time and space and people and lands by letters and by words shared by people. Words shared people to people, generation to generation, life to life. I wonder what you would share by correspondence of the essentials of who Jesus is and what it means for your life. If you have read the rest of the reading, like Pastor Olson Pop has for us, you might find it odd, but very helpful, that the letter begins not with a list of rules, but with an order for confession. As if to say, we know that this life has troubles, and we don't have to pretend. Faith isn't about being perfect, but trusting the one who has made us whole. Life isn't about getting it right, but turning to God when we get it wrong. It is odd to begin a letter with an order of confession. As I think about what I would share, I don't know that I would start with my shortcomings. When you send letters, Christmas letters, this is how I've messed up this week, Dad. How many people do you know who post about themselves being wrong on the internet? Right? It's always the other guy. When was the last time you picked up a political flyer that aired a candidate's own dirty laundry and not their competition's, right? We never start with our shortcomings. But this letter does, and I think that's something worth leaning into because it turns out this letter wasn't just written for a small community 2,000 years ago. It was so important that it has been carried even into our hands, our minds, our lives here today. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. This letter gives us words to return to God. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We are not perfect. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Familiar, right? We say it every week. When we confess, God is faithful and just and forgives us. So you wonder, could it be that the only way to become whole is by admitting that we're broken? Imagine if we had conversations like that. You know, so many of the words we hear these days are made to separate us. They're right, they're wrong. We divide people into camps. We set up boundaries to keep us apart. The strong win for a time, but everybody seems to lose. Starting with a confession just isn't how we talk these days, isn't how we communicate. Except in the community of faith, in the fellowship of Christ. We belong by naming what we're broken with. What better way to begin? Not with our strengths, but where we have needs. Not some made-up version of ourselves, but who we really are. We begin with our confession that we just might not be right about everything, that we have things to learn from one another and from God, that we're doing our best and we need help, that we make mistakes, and mistakes leave marks in us and others. But mistakes isn't all that we are. It isn't easy being human. We need a gift of community to remind us of our wholeness, even when things feel like they're falling apart. So we have this gift of confession, and it returns us to God, to ourselves and one another. We become whole by facing what is broken. And this is the witness that has traveled beyond borders and people, land and sea, time and place. Christ's power made perfect in weakness. God loves us. God loves you, wounds and all. Our flaws do not keep us from God's love, and they need not keep us from one another. Jesus has opened the way to life that our sin had once closed off. We do have hope and a future. We have complete, even if imperfect, joy. The word of life that God gives is the word that gives life. This word has been there from the beginning. What is the first thing God says? Let there be light. And the word became flesh and dwelled among us in Jesus. The word of life that was the light of all people. A light no darkness could overcome. A word of love for the whole world. God speaks this word to you still. God speaks this word to you now. I love you. There is light even in the darkness. There is life even beyond death. As I watch the tulips come up in my yard, I can't remember planting the bulbs, but I have this faint memory, and they've come up like this great yellow surprise. It reminds me of these words from Isaiah chapter 55, when God says, "My word that I speak it will not return to me empty. It's going to do the thing which I've set it to do. God says life and light and love. And God's word echoes through scripture and songs and sermons, through people and place and time. Love and light and life. These will not return to God empty. And through our brokenness, through the cracks, we still will say, may God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It makes me wonder, what's the return? How do we correspond with this God who has spoken us life and light and love? How do we return that? How do we join into the life of our Creator, the love of our Redeemer, and the light of our sustaining Spirit? We just do it with all that we have and all that we are, wounds and all, flawed yet whole. Our lives are the words that we speak back to God. Those little ones that wriggle in our arms or play underneath the pews, our graduating seniors about to launch into a new life, those who are frailer among us and getting ready for death. Our lives are the words we speak back to God. Our lives that are not perfect, but flawed and yet loved, not finished and yet whole, not made up, but real. Lives that are lived not on their own, but together. We live under Christ's care, in Christ's grace, by Christ's love. Our lives, these gifts, they're all we've got. And it's more than we've ever needed. Amen.